watched it a few times, and there's a few things that I got out of watching that video. And the first thing was the guy has literally been to hell and back, you could say. Someone that was completely and utterly broken, not just physically, but mentally as well. And you can see that in him. And to have that happen to you and to come out the other side is absolutely amazing. He gave us, the other thing that amazed me about him was that he gave his wife an opportunity to walk away, take the house, take the car, take the money, just go, this isn't a life that you need. You didn't sign up for this. And he said that, you know, go, no hard feelings there. But she decided also, which amazed me, is the fact that she wanted to stay and work through this together, this this disaster that had happened to this guy. And I thought that was really amazing. The other thing was that he shared what he learnt to the other people. And that only happened because someone else shared to him about what happened to them. And that tied nicely. He came in and said to him, you know, you're one of the brothers now, you're in the brotherhood, you're one of, and he didn't want to be like that at the start. And then eventually he came round and he started saying to the other people that in his room that, you know, there is a hope, there is a future. And he shared that. He didn't dwell on the past. He got rid of the past and he only worried about what was in the future and what he could control. And he appreciated the people that were around him. And I thought it was a really, really powerful story that of a guy's life that, you know, from being a disaster to something that's actually quite rewarding and quite powerful. What do you do with what you know? What do you know and what do you do with that? You see, for those of you that don't know me, I'm a joiner by trade. I've done that all my life. I'm 57. I started doing that when I was 15. I've done that all my life. I know it inside out. I haven't really done any other jobs apart from being a joiner. That's what I know. That's what I've learned. I'm a business owner. I've had my own business for 23 years now, and I've learned lots and lots from that. I love sports. I do triathlons. I did triathlons at a high level. I did adventure racing. I played rugby. I liked snow skiing. I used to like riding motorbikes. I run still and I really enjoy that. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm an uncle, I'm a grandfather, and I'm a friend. I tried to be a farmer, but that didn't end up too well. Let's just say some people can't be taught some things, and I'm one of them when it come to farming. I burnt the barn down. I tried to help Calvin out for a wee bit. I burnt the barn down in the first week. I set myself on fire. I nearly rolled his tractor and the grader thing that was on the back of it. I don't even know what that was called. I caused Calvin a little bit of discomfort when I tried to jump a fence once and kicked him where I shouldn't have kicked him. And I ended up tripping and landing in the electric fence upside down, getting shocked to pieces. And it would be fair to say that Calvin had his work cut out trying to teach me some of the things that he knew. And I guess out of all those things that I do, every day I try to improve on those things. I try to learn more. I try to better myself. And to be fair, there's some things now that I struggle to do. And I didn't think I'd ever say it, but I'm not as young as I used to be. And it catches up on you, and you can't run as fast as you used to, and you're not as quick as with your reflexes and all the rest of it. But the thing is, what do I do with all that stuff that I know? What do you do with all the stuff that you know? And simply it is, I need to use it, and I need to share it, and I need to help people with that. And as I look around this room, we can see lots of people in this room. I can see a nurse, I can see a mechanic, I can see another mechanic, a teacher, I can see real estate agents, optometrists, joiners, nurses. I see lots of people that do doctors, more real estate agents. You know, there's lots of people in this room that do lots and lots of different things. And you have to ask yourself, what is it that you're doing with what you know? Do you share it? And I know that Glennie's really good at knitting. And I know for a fact that she's teaching some people how to knit, the next generation down from me, and that'll be really interesting to see if that gets passed on, Glennie, won't it? I know Calvin, he's not here today. He used to be, no offence, Lyndon, but to me, he was the best motorbike rider out of all of us in our day. He was the one that seemed to always stay on the motorbike. Lyndon and I, quite often would come to grief on the motorbikes, and more so me. He seemed to bounce back a lot better than I did. I remember being out at Calvin's this one particular day, and he's got this track out there, and we were out there, and I was thinking, oh, this is really cool, and I was going around, and there was this one jump, and I could never get it, and I was just hitting it, and I'd land or flat on the top, and I secretly got Calvin to the side, and I said, can you tell me what to do here? Can you tell, I don't want the others to know that I'm asking you for advice, can you just teach me what to do? And he said, you just got to go faster. And so I thought to myself, right, I'm going to get on motorbike, jumped around the corner, and could see this jump coming, so I went faster. I went really fast, like as fast as I could go, and I cleared the jump completely and missed the landing. And I remember waking up, and Lyndon was putting me into the truck, and I could hardly breathe. I'd broken some ribs and punctured a lung and dislocated my hip, and I could hear Calvin going, not that fast. And that's how he taught me. And I was thinking to myself, wow. Anyway, when you think about what you do and what you learn, what are you doing with that? Are you passing that on? Or are you staying in your hospital room and are you keeping it to yourself, like Travis did at the start? Are you keeping what you know to yourself, or are you using it and teaching someone else? And I'm going to go and see Nelson later on, and he's going to teach me how to do that. I reckon that would be really quite good. The one thing I missed out on that list, the one thing I missed out on the list of who I am and what I do, is the fact that I'm also a Christian. Okay, and that should have been the first thing on that list. The first thing that I should have put on that list was, I'm Michael Sandry, I'm a Christian. And the reason I'm here today is because I am a Christian. It's the core of who I am. It's what I believe. It's the reason I do what I do and I say what I say. And the big question is, and you know it's coming, it's what do I do with what I know about Jesus? Okay? And you're all sitting there, and I'm hoping that you all know the Lord. And the question to you is, what are you doing with what you know about Jesus? Do I keep what I know about Jesus to myself? Am I not allowed to talk about him anymore? Are we living in a society where we're not allowed to talk about Jesus? Am I embarrassed to talk about Jesus? Am I embarrassed to speak his name? Do I think in this day and age I don't have a right to share my views, my thoughts, my beliefs about Jesus? Do I believe that it's my faith only and I'm going to be selfish? And no one wants or needs to know about that. Has social media got me that frightened and confused about what I'm allowed to say or can't say? And we see that all the time. You can't say that. You're not allowed to say that. Well, maybe I am allowed to say that. And over the last few months, I've been really challenged about that. And that's that question, what am I doing with what I know about Jesus? Do I speak Jesus, and how does that look? Do I speak to Jesus? Do I go from room to room like Travis did and talk to those other people and offer them hope and offer them comfort? In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and shine the gospel, share the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and speak Jesus to all people. Go into all the world and speak Jesus. Go into all the world and speak the name of Jesus. But how does that look in this day and age? Do we stand on a street corner? And I remember when I was really young, before I come here, and I think some members of this church might have stood on the street corner preaching the gospel and standing there. Is that still relevant? Do we speak it by words? Do we speak it by actions? Do we speak it because of our feelings? Do we speak it through our emotions? Do we Is it because we're trying to be sympathetic towards something we speak Jesus? Do we speak it because we love the people that are around us? Do we speak it by protecting someone from harm? Do we speak it because we are scared? We're scared that just maybe we might not get another chance. Do we speak Jesus by caring? Do we speak Jesus by helping other people in their needs? Do we speak it by playing footy? Do we speak it by riding motorbikes? Do we speak it by being part of a book club, a puzzle club, by standing on the board of trustees? Do we speak it by doing Meals on Wheels? Do we speak it by doing Wednesday lunches, friends and neighbours, Christmas dinner? Do we speak Jesus that way? Does listening help us speak Jesus? Do we speak it offering hope? And Jesus said, go into all the world and speak the name of Jesus. And the old-fashioned word would be a witness, wouldn't it? Are you being a witness today? Are you being a witness? You see, these verses here, and you might read these verses and think, oh, that doesn't really relate. But it relates to me, and it kickstarts me, these verses, into why I should share what I know about Jesus. And it says in Matthew 22:37-39, he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. Because if you don't understand that bit there, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, it says all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's everything you've got. If you don't love the Lord your God with all those things, then you can't do the other stuff. You need to do the other stuff when you've got this stuff here. And the second greatest commandment says, love your neighbour as yourself. You see, I have to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind to love my neighbour as myself. You see, I have to do that. And that's the way that I look at it, and those are the verses that I need to kickstart me into going out and loving my neighbour. Because how does loving your neighbour look? You know, how do you love your neighbour? And who is your neighbour? Who's your neighbour? And I quite often ask that, you know, is it the person just across the fence? Or who's your neighbour? Is your neighbour the doctor that you go and see? Is it the physio you go and see? Is your neighbour the person that put your groceries in the bag at the shop? Is it the person that puts petrol in your car? Is it the person that comes and takes the power bill? Is it the person that sends out? Who is your neighbour? It's everybody, isn't it? Our neighbour is everybody that we come in contact throughout the day. And the question is, what are you doing about sharing God with your neighbour? You know, the other day, and this is, I feel really ashamed about this, to be perfectly honest. The other day, I came here to church, and I came here to speak. And I went, before I got here, I went to the garage and I filled my truck up with diesel. And the young guy at the garage, he said to me, he said, what are you up to today, Michael? And I said, not much. Not much at all. Coming to church, speaking to you guys here, sharing God's word, worshipping God, taking the bread and the wine, I called not much. What's with that? You know, what kind of attitude is that? And I came away thinking, would Jesus have ever said that? Do you think when Jesus would ever have that kind of attitude? You know, like when he was walking to the cross, and I say to Jesus, Jesus, what are you up to today? Not much. Not much. You see? And I go, he wouldn't say that, would he? He wouldn't say that. When I walked out of that garage, I'd missed an opportunity to speak Jesus. And it wasn't one of my better moments, that's for sure. And I knew that I had done that. Why did I answer like that? I don't know. Was it pride? Was I being selfish? Was I being arrogant? Was I just in a hurry? Did I not care? Was I scared? Was I embarrassed? I don't know. Did I not care enough about that guy at the garage to speak Jesus? You see, that guy at the garage showed me more respect by asking me what I was up to than I did him by not taking the time to give him a proper answer. And sometimes we get so occupied with ourselves that we actually forget about speaking what we know about Jesus, don't we? You know, you've been in that group of people and someone's talking to you, but you're not actually listening to them. You know, you've been in a group and that conversation over there looks a whole lot more exciting, so I'm going to go over there, you know. It's just like, I think the older I get, the more I think about life and those moments that you just can't get back and that we need to make the most of them. So what's it all about? And let's face it, society's getting worse and worse, and what part do I play in all of this? And the other week we went to Aussie, Tania and I, we went over there and we caught up with Tania's sister and our brother-in-law and her kids and the grandchildren of Nikki's, Tania's sister. And it was a fantastic time. We had a really great time. And there were parts of it that really upset me, to be perfectly honest. Not the fact that I was on holiday. They live in Surfers Paradise, and I was looking really forward to going over there and looking at the beaches and walking along the beach with Tan and doing a bit of shopping and stuff like that. And there was a few moments actually where we were doing stuff, and I just realised, I was thinking, man, there are so many homeless people in Surfers Paradise now. And we're walking down the street and there was this guy here and then there was some more guys, and I just felt really sad about that, you know. And here these homeless people were just trying to survive on what they had, and what they had was pretty much nothing. And everywhere we went, you know, on the tram there would be a homeless guy sitting beside you, you know, and you sit there and you go, oh, he really smells, eh? He really smells. It's not good, you know. And we come back one night and there was this guy, there was three or four of them in the bus shelter, and I walked past and I said, how you going, guys? And they all went, oh, good, good, good. And it was like, they're lying on the concrete, they're snuggling to each other, trying to keep warm. And then there was this other guy, one of his mates, a few yards down, runny nose, it's not COVID. There was this other guy, and he was one of the big rubbish bins, you know, the big ones, and he was had the lid off, and he was bent right down inside this rubbish bin, and his pants were down around his knees, and his whole bare buttocks were showing, and I'm just like, this is how these guys live, you know. And he wasn't in the bin for a second. We'd walked probably like 40 or 50 metres, and I stopped over those 40 and 50 metres and looked back at this guy, and here he was, still with his head in this rubbish bin, trying to get the rubbish out or whatever it was in there that he could use to survive on. And I was really, really shocked about that. I remember seeing this guy that he was dressed in this pink bikini, and it's just, you don't even really want to think about it. And I remember walking past him this one day, and I'm thinking, mate, what are you doing? You know, why are you living like that? I was thinking in my head. And then we walked past the next day, and there was this young guy standing there, and he's going, mate, can you just cover up? There's young kids around, you know, they don't really. He was down on his knees, he wasn't dominating over the guy, and he was doing it in such a nice way. And I said to my brother-in-law, I said, what's that guy's backstory? There's got to be a backstory to this guy, and what's you know, why is he sitting in this chair in this little pink bikini every single day? And John, my brother-in-law, said to me, he said, years ago, his daughter, who was really young, died in a swimming accident. And ever since then, that guy hasn't been able to cope with life and cope with everything else that's gone on. And that's his way of dealing with that problem. And I felt really, really quite sad for him. And then there was this other time we were on the, and this is all in a matter of 3 or 4 days. We were on the tram, and there was this particular guy who was sitting in the seat beside us. He was all hunched up, and he was just shaking like this, and it's like, whoa, what do you do with people like this? And anyway, we went home that night, and we switched the news on, and that guy that we saw sitting on the tram like this was on the news. And the police, in their wisdom, had decided to clean up where this guy lives, underneath this bridge up where the place was. And they decided to come in and take all his stuff away and dump it while he wasn't there. And he went back, and of course he was on TV, had nowhere to go, and he was talking about everything's gone, you know, everything, I'd taken everything I own. And to be quite honest, he didn't really own that much, but what he did have, they took. And I found that really quite sad. I remember sitting in the mall over there one day waiting for Tani, and I sat there, and after watching and all these people and that, I started thinking to myself, what's it all about, you know? What are all these people doing that are walking back and forth in this mall? Where are they going? I wonder what they're thinking. What is it that they're doing? Where are they going? What's their life all about? How are they surviving? You know, and I watched hundreds and hundreds. It's not like here where you go down the street and you just about know everybody. It's like there's just hundreds of people just going back and forth, everywhere, and they're all doing their business, and they're looking, and some of them are frantic, some of them are slow, some of them are, you know, just sitting there staring. And I asked God the question, and he, of course, gave me the answer, didn't he? I said, what do I do with all of this, God? You know, where do I go? What do I do with what I know about Jesus? And you never underestimate God, because he will talk to you. And after sitting there and thinking this for quite a while, I sat there for quite a while, and you know, I'm not that creepy person that watches people, but I love to sit and watch people and what they do and all that kind of stuff. I sat there for a bit, and then I got up and I turned around and I went and I walked to this shop that was across the aisle. And I saw this t-shirt in the shop, and I thought, oh, I wouldn't mind having a look at that t-shirt. And I went across, and this t-shirt was right on display in the front of the shop. And as I got closer towards this t-shirt, there was a picture of a cross on this t-shirt. And as I got closer, I could see that the picture of the cross was made up of three nails, a big nail down the middle and two nails going across like that. And as I got even closer towards this t-shirt, in the middle of the t-shirt it said, "From darkness comes light." So here I am sitting in this mall, wondering what I do, and I go, and Jesus, God, gives me this message, "From darkness comes light." Remember the other day I spoke about that. You know, it was something that I've been really challenged on. How do we focus into our community? What do we do? How do we share it? And shining a little bit of light makes a massive difference. And once again, God came through and said, "From darkness comes light." And I just thought to myself, it's that simple. Sometimes we make it so complicated, don't we? Speak Jesus, live our faith, shine our faith. Don't underestimate what it is that we believe in and what Jesus can do in our lives. Don't overcomplicate it. And I'm a real bad person at overcomplicating it. To be quite honest, yesterday afternoon I really didn't know what I was doing. Lyndon texts me. He said, "How's it all going?" I said, "I'm feeling crook. I haven't got COVID. I don't know what I'm doing. It's been just a frantic week." And I remember going out to work, and I had like 6,000 words. And I know for a fact that we can only get in about 1,800 words between the 20-minute slot that we had. And I just said to the Lord, "Lord, please just, let's just simplify this down, let's make it simple, and let's put something together." And he helped me. And I thought to myself, you know, don't overcomplicate it. Don't put excuses in the way, you know. I often try to, it could have been so easy for me to just say to Lyndon, "I'm crook, mate, I'm not doing this. You do it, you look after it." You know, and sometimes we do that. We say we're open for business, but that means nothing if the blinds are always pulled down, doesn't it? Shine the light, and I've written that out a few times, shine the light with what you know. And as I walked back to the hotel after being at the mall, I remember there was these two people. They were trying to get these fridges and freezers off the truck. There was a the girl was on the top of the truck and the guy was at the bottom, and they were really big freezers, and there was a group of guys just standing over there, and I was thinking, oh, they must be helping. And I walked past them, I said, g'day, and I walked past, and then I looked back around and I could see the guy was going to start to take the fridge off the back of the truck, and I thought to myself, oh, he's going to drop that. So I went back and I said, oh, do you need a hand? And he said, really? And I said, yeah, do you need a hand? And he goes, and the girl goes, oh, no, we'll try and do it. It's all right. And the guy goes, no, I'd love a hand. And he'd already dented one of the new fridges that he was taking into his apartment. So for 5 minutes, we got the fridges off and the freezers off and put them to the foyer of his new apartment. And then from there, they carried on. And he couldn't believe that I'd stopped. And it was so simple just to stop and give someone a hand. I wasn't doing anything. I was just going back to the hotel and pretty much doing nothing else. So to speak Jesus, there's no secret formulas, is there? There is no magic words. It's about shining, sharing life, and loving our neighbours. And if the Lord is in my heart, then he'll be on my lips, and he'll be in my actions. And not everybody wants to talk Jesus, do they? But most people want to talk about life. And if Jesus is in your life, then some way, shape, or form, that will become obvious to those that cross your path. So let's pray more, let's live more, let's care more, let's help more, let's give more, and maybe we need to speak less and listen more. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and speak Jesus. Every step of Jesus had a purpose. And I guess that's a question for you guys. What's your purpose? Is it all about trying to make money? Is it all about trying to make your business bigger or become brighter or whatever it is? You know, and all those things are good, but at the end of the day, it should be all about what we're doing for Jesus and trying to share some light into a dark world. And I guess, you know, this week we fared well, Ralph, and all said and done, I went away from that thinking, you know, I can think about this as long as I want. I can try to make it as complicated as I can. I can have 6,000 words written down when only I really need a few, you know. And I came here on Tuesday to Ralph's funeral, and if you ever want an example of how to speak Jesus, then that was one. And when we got here early, you know, and I watched as people came up to the coffin that was right here and put their hands on it and farewell Ralph in their own way. And these were people that didn't believe in Jesus. They were people that don't go to church. And when I looked around and I looked in the room and I looked at the people there, and I saw that there was people from really young to really, really old, and I saw people from this diversity to this diversity, I'm thinking to myself, hasn't this guy spoken Jesus well throughout his life? And I really, really am thankful that I've been part of that journey with Ralph, and I can learn from that. You know, when you see his grandchildren get up and speak the way they do, and his sons and daughters get up and speak how they do, the man has left a legacy on how to live Christ. And like Graham Shett said, you know, he wanted people to know that he was a Christian, and he wanted people to know what that meant. And I just thought that was just really, really spot on. There was no mixing words. It was about Ralph had a faith, Ralph lived the faith, and now Ralph is in heaven because of that faith. And I think that is absolutely amazing. And I've had people come into my work this week that were at that funeral. You know, there was 400 or 500 people at that funeral, and they said, oh, what have you been up to? I said, oh, I've just been to Ralph. Three people come in after the funeral into my work, and they just said, he's the most amazing man I've met. And I didn't even know he knew them, you know. So it was pretty special. Before we go any further, I'm nearly done. I'd love it if we could take the bread and the wine. And the reason I want to take the bread and the wine is simply this, is that there are people in this room and there are people that aren't in this room that took the time to share with me what it is that they knew about Jesus. And I really, really appreciate that. And I really, really thank those people for that. And that was done in a whole lot of different ways. That might have been speaking about Jesus, that might have been asking me out for lunch, that might have been taking me to Dunedin in a car, that might have been taking me boating, and Ralph did plenty of that. You know, that might have been, going to the pictures together, all those types of things. There were so many things that happened where Jesus was spoken to me. And I'm guessing you guys in this room all have that same story. There will be a point in your time where someone taught you or told you about Jesus. And that brings us to the cross, because the second part of that is that I then believed in Jesus. I believed in what those people were saying about Jesus. And when I come to taking the bread and the wine this morning, and I've already said many times that I really, really cherish this time, you know, of taking the bread and wine, because it brings me back to that day when I believed that Jesus died on a cross. I believe that Jesus took all my sins, and I believe that he is alive and he's living in me now, and he is going to give me a future one day with him in heaven. And I believe all that, and I take this now because I want to remember that. And I'm wondering if Mike would come up, and as you take the bread and the wine this morning, just remember that. Remember why you are taking it. Remember those people that shared what they knew about Jesus. So thanks, Frank. If you'd like to lead the way, that would be awesome.
Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I guess as we're nearly finished, and we've the third step in it for me was now knowing that I have a Saviour that lives in me and is alive, and that I can have there when things get tough, when things aren't easy. I know that my Lord is living with me in all days, in all things, in the good and the bad. And I now have a Jesus that I can speak over things. I now have a Jesus that lives in my life, that can deal with all the things. I now have a Jesus that works in my life and is working on me and is with me all the time. And you see, I struggle sometimes. I get anxious, I really do. If something gets me down, I get really, really worked up about that. And even this week, you know, it's been such a frantic week. And I was lying in bed the other night, and I just can't do this, you know. It's just too hard. And I remember saying to myself, "You've got your Lord. You've got your Lord. You've got your Lord. Speak over these problems. Get him to deal with them, you know." And I did that, and I woke up 6 hours later, and everything was right. And you know, we have the Saviour that's living in us that can work. He can help us when we're feeling down. He can help us when we're feeling lonely. He can help us when we're feeling scared. And people need to know that. We need to know that Jesus will deal with every situation that is thrown at us. And that's really powerful. There's a song I want to finish with, and it's called "I Speak Jesus." And I absolutely love this song. I think it's really, really powerful. I listened to it all the way back from Christchurch yesterday when I dropped Maddie and Aaron off. They were away off to Malaysia, and I put it on repeat all the way from Christchurch back to the town boundary, and it's a 5-minute song, so you can imagine how many times I listened to that song. And it talks about Jesus speaking over our situations, and we need to do that more often. We need to understand that the Jesus that we have, we can speak over with him situations, and he will deal with those in his own way. And I think that's really powerful. Talks about speaking Jesus over our day-to-day life, asking Jesus to help us in each and every moment of the day, speaking Jesus over our illnesses, over our weaknesses, over our failings, speaking Jesus over that sin that keeps tripping us up, speaking Jesus over our family, our friends, and our workmates. And I just think, like, it's a really, really powerful song, and if we can get our heads around that and we can apply that into our lives, then we can make a massive difference. Matthew 22:37 again says, love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and the second is to love your neighbours as yourself. And I quite often ask myself, how much do I love my neighbour? Enough to speak Jesus? Enough to speak Jesus over them in a loving way? I learnt that I can't fix everything. And as I go through life and as troubles come along, I can't fix everything. And I tried sometimes, even in our own family situations, I try to fix everything, and I can't fix everything. And that's taken a bit for me to learn, because that's just in my nature to fix things and try and sort things out, and I can't do that. And I have learnt now that I have to rely on Jesus to do that. And those homeless people, I can't fix that, but I can pray for that situation. I can pray Jesus over that situation. So I just wonder if we can listen to that song, and that's all I've got to say. And after that, we've got some morning tea, and I hope that we share together, talk together, spend some time together after that, and really think about the song and the power that this song has and how we can use that in our lives. Thanks, Nicole.